right, in partnership with AnnaValleyShook.com, it is the Ghost Show, your original LSU podcast, 2013 season preview edition. The Roundtable is back, hanging out in Ponchatoula, Louisiana today, recording the show. Kerry Muntz in the saddle, your host, joined by everybody who you haven't really heard in a long time because the Saturday shows have disappeared, but that's something a discussion for another day. So I'm just going to go around and just introduce everybody, and you're just going to say hello. JJ.
Yo, what's up?
I said say hello.
Hello.
All right, thank you. Pat.
Pick up the mic, Pat.
Hello.
Pat has an official microphone holder. Joe LeBlanc.
Sup.
Chase is here, too.
How you doing?
And Cody.
What's up?
Always to my right.
What's
going on, man?
Every time.
I agree. And don't forget the man behind the scenes pushing the buttons, making sure we do everything right. The Pierre Port Pimp, the Cajun Billy Dee Williams. So anyway, as I stated at the beginning of the show, this is the Go Show, your original LSU podcast, in partnership with AnnaValleyShook.com. The ways to get in touch with us, the ways to follow the show, one is to go to our site. That's AnnaValleyShook.com, www.AnnaValleyShook.com. That was pretty smooth, wasn't it? Was to save that five times fast. Bam! Ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba. Okay.
No.
Not now? That was it? That was it? Okay, never mind.
You already had it.
Anyway, you can go to the website, download the show for free from there, go to iTunes, subscribe to it, get it, you know, whatever. Get it downloaded. You can download it for free via iTunes. Send us money, but we'll give it to you for free. Hey. Which made no sense. So anyway, no, ways to get in touch with the show. Go to the website, you can download it, you can view it from there, download it to your smartphone device, and that's it.
And podcast? Your uncle.
Any news and notes?
No.
We do tweet. I'm sorry. Yeah, that's right. Hit us up on Twitter. We got to mention that. We tweet at Valley Shook.
We like the
podcast tweets. Podcast likes to twat. He's a definitely twatter. So he's got like probably what you like 17 million tweets now.
Well, that's gonna
like
get
that.
Edited.
So,
60,000?
That's sad.
That's impressive.
Jesus. So hey, send us money to support
dude, you
this
are the
habit.
Wilt Chamberlain of tweeting. So, no, you hit us up there at Valley Shook. That's another way you can get, because Podcast always posts the links to the show there. I tweet like once every 16 months. I'm at Go Show Carry. That's GAUXSHOW. Carry, CAREY. So 2012 ended like. But, I mean, bad. I don't even want to talk about Taj.
Okay, well, that's not.
Taj Boyd.
The highest
Sammy Watkins.
Candidate.
Yeah, we made that guy. Hey, I mean, we are. I mean,
the best part about that night were the cigars.
The cigars. Hey, Chase.
The best part.
Had to be the cigars.
You're welcome.
And the holding Chase up.
So leaving that all behind, you know, everybody knows the whole deal. 11 under a record, 11 underclassmen going pro. I guess the biggest change, I guess we'll dive right into it. The biggest change or the biggest move was the hiring of Cam Cameron, former offensive coordinator of the Baltimore Ravens, former head coach of the Miami Dolphins, as the offensive coordinator for LSU. Greg Stradara, I still cannot pronounce that name. Move back to offensive line, so Cam Cameron in as offensive coordinator now, and you know, right off the bat in interviews, he's saying if you put nine in a box in LSU this year, we're gonna throw it over your head. Problem is, Bentenberger threw it over the receivers' heads last year too. So, I mean, so what do you make of this, JJ? What do you think about the hire?
I think the hire is great. I think. It's all going to come down to, and then I was thinking about this when we said we were going to do the show, is in the big time game, is Miles actually going to give him control? In the big game, the games that it counts, is it going to matter? Is he going to let loose and let Cam do what he needs to do with the offense? Because I know there have been times where I've sat next to you watching games in the big games, the games against Alabama, the games against, you know, the ones that garner the most attention, and it's like a completely different team showing up from something else. And it looks like the play calling changes. So was that somebody not feeling comfortable with the plays that were going on and want to take control. I think Miles has a little bit more control and maybe a control freak when it comes to those games where everything's on the line.
You know,
and he feels less comfortable giving up that control.
And that was probably a lot very evident last year because you had a guy for the last 2 years, really. I mean, 2011, it wasn't really an issue towards the end. But you got a guy who you promoted to offensive coordinator because the Cragthorpe thing didn't work out because of his Parkinson's.
Yeah, Parkinson's.
So you got a guy you took from offensive line coach to make offensive coordinator. So, of course, Miles is thinking, I've got to help this guy out because this guy's really not an offensive coordinator. And now what we have is we actually have the first bona fide, legit offensive coordinator since Croton, which Croton's schemes and whatever, not really schemes, that's more of a defensive term, but his philosophy was just so far out of the loop. Just
well, but it's not.
One little drop on that. There actually is news. Croton got fired from Winnipeg last week.
Good job, Gary Croton.
Right.
Hell of a hire, LSU. We won a national championship with the guy as an offensive coordinator. How did we do that?
Because we had a shit ton of talent and a decent quarterback.
If my money was on the first curse bomb today, it would have been the man to my left.
But this is something that I've noticed that isn't just the last 2 years. Whenever there's a game, whenever everything's on the line, the game means the most, the play calling changes.
Would you say that really occurred last year and the year before?
Yeah.
Where specifically?
We've sat watching games, and you're like, where? I've heard him. Does it change? I can quote him and say, what the hell are they calling?
Let me see why I said that.
Why are we not doing the same thing we did against this game?
Let's look at the Peach Bowl. Let's look at the Peach Bowl. Jeremy Hill, through three quarters, had, I don't know, 90-some-odd yards, even I think maybe 100. In the fourth quarter, he touches the ball one time.
Why is there such a dramatic possession game
where running the clock out and getting the triple zeros is the main objective?
Somewhere along the line,
maybe
the play call.
Maybe between quarters, he punched somebody in the face. I don't know.
Okay.
But it's not just the Peach Bowl. There are games. The reason I said that is because
the offensive style that we played in 2 years ago was we're going to pound the ball down your throat and use play action to throw it. And against Alabama, it didn't work because we couldn't pound the ball down their throat. They were just bigger than us. They were bigger and stronger. We couldn't do it. We couldn't run the football. And so the offensive game plan went out the window, and they had to do something different. That's the only thing against the real competition where the talent is equal, the game plan doesn't work.
We're talking about last year.
No, he did. But what I'm saying is there are times we've watched games where the team that played the week before and the team we're watching on TV is not the same team. The play calling's off.
They never knew how to accentuate a positive from, like, say, okay, this is working in the first and second quarter. Let's do this to accentuate what we did in the third and fourth quarter. They never were able to get to that level. As far as keeping a defense off balance, it was the same old 3 yards cloud of dust. And I don't know if that's a trust issue with the quarterback, with the receivers not being able to catch the ball, just Stradauer wanting to do his thing and Les Miles wanting to do his thing, just kind of, you know, butting heads a little bit. So I think it's a combination of a lot of things. And I think what the hire Cam Cameron does is to kind of, okay, well, now we have this guy. It's a guy that Les Miles knows, who he's coached with before. It has a little bit of a different feel.
I agree with you.
I've heard this before. Exactly. Everything's, you know, sunshine pumping. Everything's all hunky-dory. Let's see what happens against TCU on Saturday.
And what I'm saying, if the team we see week one.
Not really.
Is it? Don't eat it all.
If.
The brisket, I mean.
Yeah. Is this going to be if less, and I have to think that it's less being a little bit of a control freak is why we see different teams at certain times, and whether it's a trust issue of whoever, something changes in his frame of thinking. So does he trust Cameron enough to give him to say, here are the keys, go? Or when the game gets tight or the game's on the line, does he not fill the car up full of gas?
I think what we've been talking about this every single year, but I think what we're overlooking for Cam with the hiring is that we finally have someone to develop our quarterbacks. He was brought in for that as well. So you have to look at what he's going to be able to do. When was the last time we had an offensive coordinator or a head coach or anybody that sat there and worked with the quarterback?
Well, that was back what to Craig. That's what Craig thought.
Yeah.
Well, he was supposed to.
Right.
Croton was sort of a quarterback coach.
Look how well.
I don't think Croton's much of a coach of anything.
I mean, you got to think about it. We brought in a guy who worked with Drew Brees and Phillip Rivers in San Diego. He was offensive coordinator.
Did you just say Drew
Brees? Drew
Brees.
No, I agree with you on that.
And he also developed Flacco. I mean, he sat and he worked with Flacco a little bit. So I think whether or not we can sit here and talk about whether or not Les Miles is going to hand him the keys. I mean, you know, I think one of the great things, I'll be a semi-sunshine pumper for a little bit, and I'll just say one of the great things that is going to happen with that hire is we're going to have somebody to work with our quarterbacks.
Right.
Yeah. I don't care who it is.
Yeah.
We have somebody to work with our quarterbacks. And that's
he's the type of coach that can – he's not going to take a square peg and try to slam it into a round hole. He's going to take what Mettenberger does best, and he's going to accentuate that. He's going to make that – a lethal weapon. Flacco's not the greatest quarterback in the NFL. But he worked well in the system.
Right.
He knew Flacco's limitations. He knew what he could do, and that's what he made great.
Yep, and that's what I like.
Well, let me play devil's advocate with you here a little bit about the Flacco thing. Flacco didn't really excel until they fired Cam Cameron and promoted Jim Caldwell.
You got a point, but Flacco excelled in the playoffs. That was a completely different thing.
How long was he in Baltimore?
Who? 2008.
Cameron was there for 4 years?
2008. Yeah. He was hired in 2008. He was fired in 2012.
He was the head coach of the Miami Dolphins 4 years ago? I thought he came in after Saban.
Who?
That was four years ago.
Holy shit, it sure was.
But on the flip side, you got to look at what he did with the Chargers. When he was there, they were the high-powered offense.
They had LaDainian Tomlinson and Drew Brees and Philip Rivers, and they
scored the most points.
Here's my theory on Les Miles and offensive coordinator.
Everybody
He's already given full reign to the defensive coordinator. What else does he have? If he gives full reign to the offensive coordinator,
he's just
a guy standing on the sidelines with his – twiddling his thumbs.
That's what a head coach is.
That's what Saban does.
Saban's very involved with the defense. Give me a break.
Yeah, no doubt. But
and Les Miles is an offensive guy. He wants to be involved with his offense.
Fine, be involved. But he helps Stradaba with the offensive line because Saban. Saban's hands on with the defense, but secondary.
Let me put it to you this way. As a head coach, your job is motivator. Your job is counselor. To make the call in a tight situation.
You're a general.
And a recruiter.
You're a recruiter.
You are not the person that's going to lay out every play for the next game week. You are not the person.
And
not
you
at this level.
Be.
You
no.
you don't need to be. You need to be the CEO of a company, basically, and you need to have people that specialize in what they do to run their thing.
Bingo.
And you manage those people.
That's why Cam
not manage the
needs
players
to run
themselves
it.
And the offense and everything else.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. What makes Nick Saban such a great coach? Is it because he hires the talent to do the job? He's such a great defensive mind? No, it's because
he's a general.
Recruits. He's a general. He's hands off with his offense. Look at what Alabama's offense is doing compared to what LSU's offense did when he was there. He knows how to adapt.
He knows what type of offense he wants.
Yeah,
he knows how to add in the wrinkles to utilize the talent of what today's college offenses are.
Les Miles hasn't done that.
One fault I'll give Les Miles is. It seems like the coaches that he goes after to hire as his coordinators don't really have a shot to take his place. It's like he's uncomfortable, whereas as a head coach, you should hire people that could replace you. You want that guy that could be that head coach.
I can agree with that.
You don't hire subpar people just because you're afraid of your job.
Podcast wants to say something.
I thought it was like four mics there. Y'all
yeah, there is another side to that, though. You don't. One of the reasons at this level you don't hire somebody who could take over for you is because you don't want them to disappear for a head coaching job in 2 years.
Yeah, that's part of the deal. I'd rather win.
We're not a program that's hiring somebody who's rising through the ranks. You know, we're the last stop.
Saban's lost some coaches. He's lost a lot of coaches.
Yeah.
And he still wins because he replaces
them.
He's
lost a lot, but he knows how to find the right people.
I mean, we could talk about this fight.
Yeah, we can.
I know we could.
Okay, we're going off on a tangent. Yeah, we got it.
And
Cam Cameron's
hired. We've already pissed off like the six people of our eight people audience by mentioning Nick Saban's name.
Yes, I agree with the Cam Cameron hire. I like it.
Thanks, Cody.
Good job, Chase.
Chase chimed in. Pat's here.
All right, so what's next on the docket?
Well, I mean, just to kind of wrap that up, I mean,
best.
It's best.
So what about our special teams?
What's that?
Oh,
yeah, that's second.
Exactly.
Kobe Delahousse.
Exactly.
Done. And the Australian.
Australian. There you go.
No,
what's next?
When do we play Alabama?
We play this year?
This
November
year.
9th.
Okay. So up until that point, we don't really have
do we play
big
eight,
game.
Eight?
Besides TCU, we'll call TCU as a big game. Up until
St.
Alabama.
Georgia and Florida.
Georgia's a big game.
Kind of semi-big.
That's true.
I don't know.
Just a little.
At Athens against the number three team in the country.
Okay, I forgot about you.
Florida at home is in the top ten.
Georgia is going to be.
So Georgia will be the first test. We'll see. So
no, TCU is going to be the first test. What I'm saying is
it Cam Cameron's offense or is it Cam's Cameron offense with Les Miles?
We'll find out for TCU.
You think with TCU?
We'll
yes.
See. You'll be able to tell within the first.
TCU doesn't have the depth that we have, but they're going to give us.
You won't be able to tell in the first three because they've been scripting the first three to four offensive series for the past 6 months now.
Yeah.
You will not be able to tell.
Now, you won't be able to tell until
after
the half
third game of the season. You won't tell till Georgia whose offense it is.
Yeah.
I guarantee it.
You think?
Because the first game has been
the first
scripted.
Game scripted.
You will be able to tell who's making the call and adjustments.
Right.
That you'll be able to tell.
I'll tell you what, if we go into halftime.
But if we're up at halftime, you know what the hell.
If we go into halftime at TCU tied,
we'll see.
Yeah. You'll see
but
who's offense
ahead,
is.
There's no way you'll see because we're going to run it.
No, if we're up 21-3 at halftime and Netberg is 12 for 18 for 208 yards and two touchdowns. Cam Cameron's calling the plays.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. So, yeah, the first three or four series. Just depending on what happens. So, all right, let's stay. Okay, offensive side of the ball. We talk about Cam Cameron. He said if you're going to put nine in a box, he wants to stretch the field. We're going to throw it over your heads.
Good. I like that.
What I worry about, yeah, I like it too. Now we have potentially a guy that can do that. I don't want to talk about freshman impact players just yet, but I just want to talk about just the wide receiver position in general because it was a definite Achilles heel last season in addition to the offensive line, which actually shaped up to be pretty good despite all the injuries and everything.
Jarvis Landry.
But the between ODB and his drops and losing Trayvon Darrow, a lot of people forget Trayvon Darrow, who's making a huge impact in fall camp this year. A lot of people forget that he got injured early on last year, and he was supposed to be the deep threat guy last year.
Yeah,
and he never played. So you get ODB, who's not a deep guy. Jarvis Landry's not a deep guy. Kadrion Boone here and there shows flashes. James Wright's more of your, I guess, more of your. What was a dude that played opposite Michael Clay? Craig Davis. More of your, you know, over the middle possession kind of guy.
12 to 18 yards down the field.
Yeah,
catch the ball.
Yeah. James Wright can. Kadrion Boone will show flashes of down the field talent. We saw that. That huge catch against A&M.
The thing we're looking for is that tall receiver to go up and get the ball in a tackle.
A lot of people were talking about Quintavious Leslie being that guy, but he showed up to camp like 6'4", like 86 pounds. So to stretch the field, you got to have reliable wide receivers. Jarvis Landry's reliable. He's kind of the guy. He plays bigger than what he actually is. He's not a burner, but
Eric Martin.
He's going to play. Yeah, he's going to block downfield for you.
Yeah.
He's going to make the tough catch over the middle. He's going to make a spectacular play here and there. ODB is the guy we need to, first of all, when they want to do that short passing game, which I know is in, which I know is in there.
10 yards and curl.
Who's that? Jarvis Landry. Talking about Jarvis Landry? Yeah, a little bit.
ODB 5 to 10 and curl.
What they were talking about first, like 3 days of camp, was they were working on like bubble screen. They were bubble screen, like the first 2-3 days of practice, I think. ODB needs to be reliable. He needs to catch the freaking ball. He needs to, you know, that's huge. I mean, that guy, he kind of at times would just
he needs to be a possession receiver.
He'd press. But he's more than just a possession receiver. He's a guy that can take a 5-yard slip screen, wide receiver screen, and turn that into a big play because he's got wheels. He's not a stretch the field guy, but he's a guy that can take a 5 or 10 yard pass and turn it into something big.
So let me ask you this: who is our stretch the field guy?
Trayvon Darrell was supposed to be that guy.
Is he a freshman?
Yeah, he's a redshirt.
He's a redshirt freshman. He got hurt beginning of last year.
Okay, we missed him then.
Yeah. Yeah, Trayvon Darrell is. He's you look at the depth chart right now. He is, I believe, third.
No, that's the depth chart.
This is not a depth chart.
Okay.
Trayvon Darrell's a guy. Kevin Spears is a guy who's coming out of nowhere, who played at Holy Cross last year. That's another guy. John Dios is a guy who came in highly touted, but you haven't really heard a whole lot about him. He's kind of flying under the radar.
But you know, that's kind of where your deep threat comes from. Sometimes it's that guy that's unknown, that no one's heard about, and then all of a sudden he catches one or two passes going down the middle, and it's like, holy shit, there he is.
You know, that's something that has changed in Les Miles over the last few years. Is you've seen a lot more freshmen play.
Well, you
got to.
He has to. With all the people we have leaving,
that's the
thing. But he was always so loyal to his seniors and juniors.
But we don't have the seniors and the juniors.
But I mean, even when they are, he's still letting the freshmen play over them.
I want to talk about something that we always start, and at least me, every season. Now that Cam Cameron's here,
rips.
Do we see
a tight end?
A tight end
finally.
Because you got to think about it. With Cam, with Cam's offense, he had Antonio Gates. He had Dennis Pitta.
Yep.
He had – I can't remember the guy.
He's a tight end heavy guy.
Is there a guy on LSU's basketball team that can play football?
If the tight end is a receiving tight end, you can actually use your tight end to stretch the field.
I was going to say, who do we have stretch the field? Yeah. I was going to say a tight end.
So what do you call – what would you call quality production from a tight end? Over the course of the year.
Quality.
For us. I'd say 15 to 20 catches.
Yeah. I'd say 20 to 25, but I'd say those catches coming on important third
big
down conversions.
Third downs. Yep.
Big third down conversions.
Where you need like 15 like, yards.
No. I'm talking about sure hands going to go up the middle, turn to a curl, and just take a hit and get a first down.
Yeah.
That's what I want. You know? So.
Chase Claiborne could have been that guy, but never went to him enough. Because he was a big guy. He would have took a hit like nothing.
We never threw to a tight end, period.
I know. but he could have been that guy.
He could have, yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Brisket man wants the microphone.
You know what you need at a tight end nowadays? You need two different types of tight end. One that can actually go down the field and make a play.
And block.
And one that can box out like a basketball player. Why you think they're going to basketball players? Because he can use his body, get wide, create that space, and if the quarterback can hit that little pocket, perfect.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. I think we have our blocking tight end is what's his name? Dylan, I think. 6'5", 260?
Dylan's the
blocking tight end.
Oh, no, he's 280. Yeah,
he's a big dude.
280. 6'5", 280. Yep. Zero catches.
All he does is block. He goes in
there.
That's
a block. He's a blocking tight end. Travis Dixon and Logan Stokes are your main two guys right now.
Yep.
A lot of hype about Deshaun Smith, but they said in camp he hasn't really caught on yet.
Here's the thing. I mean – we know Mettenberger's got the arm. He's probably got one of the best arms in college football as far as how far he can throw it.
He's got two. I wouldn't go that far, but he's got two arms.
Well, I mean, the national media thinks he does.
Yeah. Okay.
Why would they say it on TV if they don't think it?
Well, I heard.
They say a lot of shit on TV.
Yeah, I heard Ohio State's going to win the
national
title. Let me put this
way. I agree with you that they say that when they're talking about LSU, but whenever they're just talking about quarterbacks in college football, I don't hear Mettenberger's name coming up.
Yeah, they're not talking about him. When they talk about LSU, they got to talk about somebody.
They say, oh, he's got the talent, and they say all that stuff when they're talking about LSU.
Right.
But you don't hear his name brought up in
like
a list.
He can hit his potential.
I know y'all don't care. Y'all laughing at me, but I'm watching college
football
live, and the whole panel's asking the question, who's got the best arm in college football? And they put Mettenberger in the top three.
I'm laughing at you because you watch college football live.
Well, I'm just saying. they are national media.
I believe you, man.
I'm just messing with you.
He's got strength. He's got a strong arm. I don't think anybody's going to disagree with that. But accuracy-wise is his problem.
Well, he did miss a lot of receivers last year.
He missed a lot of receivers last year.
Not as many as Jordan Jefferson.
Well, let's hope he doesn't do that next year.
And that's the thing. We saw Jordan Jefferson, and then we saw Mettenberger. It's like, oh, well, he's not that bad. He didn't miss as many.
What we got next on the docket?
Well, I mean, you're talking about Mettenberger. We look at that, and it is, you know, Les Miles keeps dropping hints about Anthony Jennings. Where did this guy come from? I'm not talking about two quarterbacks. I'm not talking about Jordan Jefferson. Jared Lee right now. I'm talking about Anthony Jennings coming in spot situations almost kind of like I compare it to a
Ryan Perilou.
A Chris Lee.
Oh, yeah, that's
a Chris Lee, Tim Tebow kind of deal.
That name.
Yes, we pulled out a Ryan Perilou.
We used him a lot in the 2007 season. Option plays.
I see it kind of shaping up. That's not a bad comparison, actually. I forget about Ryan Perilou coming in.
He did a lot of that.
Yeah, he probably played 3 to 5 snaps a game.
We were on the option with him.
You go back and look at it, he probably played 3 to 5 snaps a game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think Anthony Jennings might be a guy that
Denard Robinson.
Huh?
Denard Robinson last year when he stopped playing quarterback and started playing
running back, basically. Miles keeps dropping his name. When Miles drops a name, that's usually a guy that's going to come in and play. He's one of the guys. He's one of the freshmen that's going to come in and stop in. Is going to step up. I don't know how much he sees the field. I don't know. So when you're talking about impact freshmen, it's hard to talk about a quarterback in that regard because we have a bona fide starter. But other freshman impact players, we talked about Trayvon Dural already, a redshirt freshman. On a defensive front is where it's most eminent because – of how much we lost on the defensive line. So you talk about, especially at the defensive end position, you talk about a guy like Tayshaun Bauer, Kendall Beckwith, an outside linebacker, who I didn't even see on the depth chart, actually. Pocket, any word on him? I mean, he's Kendall Beckwith. Is he kind of
– Is he related to Derry?
Yep. Get a mic.
Kendall Beckwith, with the biggest problem with Kendall Beckwith this year is that right now our deepest position and our strongest position on the defense is linebacker.
Yeah.
You know, his name let me put it this way. I've heard like two call-in shows with Les Miles already this offseason and a whole bunch of press conferences. People bring up his name to Les Miles, but Les Miles never mentions Kendall Beckwith a lot. I mean, he'll probably play a couple snaps this year, but the depth and talent at linebacker this year is so great that his best news is that a bunch of people ahead of him are going to go to the NFL next year.
Yeah.
So, but this ain't the year for Kendall Beckwith.
He's not. I mean, we know he's got the speed. Is he not big enough to maybe line up at defensive end occasionally and rush the passer?
Maybe. What's he listed at right now?
6'3",
250.
246. Yeah, 246. Bigger than Mingo? Mingo was a little bit taller, but he's definitely heavier than Mingo.
Right. I guess we haven't really seen him in action to see what kind of real speed he's got.
I mean, certain packages, you know.
Like I said, I can see him playing, but I don't see that he's going to have like a big – you know, granted we get 2 or 3 injuries on linebacker position again this year. I'm sure he's going to play a hell of a lot more.
Yeah.
But I don't – in best-case scenario, he's not going to have a big role this year.
Right.
He'll be an impact player on a couple
plays.
Yeah,
and that's actually not a bad problem.
A guy who subs
we haven't been this loaded at linebacker.
We have 17 linebackers.
This linebacker.
That's it?
Yeah, that's it. 17.
You add those together, you almost have – Brady James and Trev Falk's numbers combined. They were 11-7.
But the
defensive line is, I mean, first of all, you got to find two new defensive ends.
Mm-hmm.
And right now, I think Rasko and Daniil Hunter, Jamari Rasko and Daniil Hunter are listed starters right now. Or is it Jordan Allen?
I'll pull up the stars also a second. But this
where's
is what,
that depth chart thing?
This
just
is what
pop
we,
that crap
know,
up.
This
Pac,
is what
yeah,
we in our in on the Andy Valley Shook website. We have a series called Better Know a Freshman, where
I
we
do.
Go over the entire roster.
I read
of freshmen
it. I read it class. Most of the time.
And here is what we had to say about Mr. Kendall Beckwith, where we think he'll play some snaps on defense, even against TCU, but he's not going to be a starter, so to say, until some of the depth in front of him goes away. Mm-hmm. Although he's definitely going to get He's going to technically get some starts because he's definitely going to be playing on special teams. He's a lock for that.
So, I mean, but Joe, so move, so shift gears, we go defensive line now. I think it's really important that, you know, Free Johnson and Eagle Ferguson play big. You know, defensive tackle is such an unsung position because of you don't really see in the stat column what they do and what they what how much they contribute. A defensive tackle's job is basically to accumulate blockers, open up stunts, things for defensive ends, inside linebackers, things like that. And that's what they need to do. I'm a little bit worried about the depth behind those two. We have two guys that unproven potential-wise, Quentin Thomas, Mickey Johnson from Covington, actually went to St. Paul. Mm-hmm. Those are two guys that kind of are there, but they're already being passed up by talking about impact freshman. Christian Lockator is another guy that Les Miles has been driving. Look at that guy, size 6'5", 298. Look at him, I think of Michael Brockers. Tall defensive tackle. You know, you don't see a lot of defensive tackles that size. We got a lot of tall defensive tackles. They're all over 6'2".
Yeah. Except for Mickey.
He's got to put on some weight.
Mickey Johnson's a short dude, probably squats 10,000 pounds, though. Yeah. He's got 6'3", 07.
That would be a record.
Yeah. It's like a boulder.
Yeah. So the bottom line, yeah, in finding two guys that can rush the pass off the end, you know, Rasko, Hunter, you're talking Allen. Tayshawn Bowers, another impact freshman guy they're talking about. Justin Macklin's a guy who's been on the team for 3 years now, who's heavily recruited. Lewis Neal is a guy. So Frank Heron, that's another incoming freshman, another big guy. That's a big defensive end right there.
That guy Hunter's skinny, huh? For 6'5", dude. Huh?
He's a Mingo type.
Yeah.
He's definitely a Mingo type. Jordan Allen, is he? He's not related to the dude from the Vikings, is he? Okay. What's the guy's name from the Vikings?
Jared Allen.
Okay. Let's take a look at him. We pull up his player profile. This is in-depth NFL show, Go Show coverage here. Does Jordan Allen?
Hell, it looks like him. Looks like him.
It kind of looks like him.
But I don't think I didn't know if Jared was from West Monroe.
I don't think Jared's from
No, that's not him.
No, he's got two siblings, Johnny and April.
Oh, he's I wonder if his Monroe, sister looks the man like him. If he's from West Monroe.
Let's hope right not.
Yeah, Jesus.
Dude's fugly.
Holy crap.
It's so stereotypical. White defensive end, he automatically looks like Jordan Allen.
That's what I was going to say. If he was black, we'd have been like, oh, that's not him.
He's Jordan Allen.
He has
long
to be
hair
white.
Too, though.
And he, oh, yeah, he looks and like
has,
him.
And has a 5 o'clock shadow and long hair.
Yeah.
Jared Allen's brother. Let's finish position breakdown. Let's really get into after we do running backs and defensive backs, we're really going to get into what the Go Show season preview is all about, and that is 2013 SEC predictions.
Dark horse. Yes.
Who's going shaved head bet this year? I don't want to get into the whole Jeremy Hill thing.
No,
apparently
not.
He's playing.
Not.
He'll
play eventually, but I doubt he plays on.
I think
TCU.
He plays.
He's not going to start. He's definitely not going to start. I heard Blue. Huh?
He'll come back for
Georgia. They haven't announced a suspension yet.
That's what I'm saying.
Les Miles Walton.
He's going to play the first game.
You know what he's doing? It's just like the head coach for TCU. He doesn't want to announce the starting quarterback because he wants every little advantage he can get. Miles ain't going to announce.
Yeah, because let's not remember they've got some criminals who don't know if they're off of probation yet either. Remember, Casey Pahal missed all of last year because he was the ring reader of a drug bust.
Yeah,
that's true.
Yeah. I mean, it's all about running back. Running back is
a lot of cocaine
one
for TCU
we're
last
set
year.
If we can stay healthy,
yeah,
that's important.
Do we know what freshman running backs are coming in?
We don't
might
have
be,
any.
That
we
might,
didn't recruit, we didn't
we recruit
any.
A single one?
No, we didn't have to.
Do we have any that didn't play last year that we might see?
We had six on a roster last year. They moved one to wide receiver who was back to running back in Terrence McGee.
Yep.
And the other two who ran for a total of like 10 yards the whole year declared pro.
We do have blue
back. So, I mean, huh?
We do have
blue's
back
coming from injury.
They can stay healthy, like you say.
Kenny Hilliard dropped 20 pounds. They listed him at 233. They say he looks more like 225.
They say he looks really
Dalton.
Good.
That is my measurements right there. 6'2", 233. I'm actually 6'1". But
was that Dalton's nephew?
That is Dalton's nephew. So apparently, you know,
we have four running backs.
Last year he had some issues. All I hear on Sports Today is from Panamsky is, we had a kid last year. He wasn't in his right mind. Okay, that's sunshine pumping material right there. Let's see what Kenny Hill does in the field. I ain't worried about him having a kid. You know, Kevin Falk had 16 kids. Dude ran for like 6,500 all-purpose yards in his career.
Cecil Collins was trying to make some.
That's why he played so many years in the NFL. He had to make some money.
I think he's coaching. I think he's coaching a
Cecil counter. Collins is out?
Yeah, he just
out.
Got out this year.
I think, no shit. I think Kevin Falk is actually coaching a counter crow now. Yeah, yeah. I wonder if he still got the swoosh shaved in his head.
That's the last time I saw it.
That's awesome.
Nice.
That's awesome. Keeping it real.
Maybe it's permanent.
He don't have much hair left, but it's all
happening. Yeah, he's getting a little thin. No, the running back is a position. We got Terrence McGee is a guy that
Tata.
I don't know. He's just if those three guys above him are producing, where do you put him? You know?
Yeah.
We're not an NFL offense, though, man. That's all fine and good. We don't have third down backs in college.
Stop talking without a microphone.
Bubble screen.
Yeah.
Bubble screens. Use them on special teams.
I want to see him utilize. Is he going to be a kick returner?
See him in special
I don't
teams.
See why not. Okay.
Who is going to be our kick returner?
Beckham's punt returning.
Beckham.
Just one guy back there.
There's no guy coming in that might surprise us, you don't think?
A running back, we're good at. I don't think, unless the injury bug hits us, guys.
You know, cornerback, you know, going to position thing. The Jalen's a solid. Safety, Craig Lawson is solid. The other safety position I'm worried about a little bit. Ronald Martin is number one right now, followed by, I think, Michael Eugene. Corey Thompson, another name. So we're still looking up kick return depth chart here. So I see Mike DeTaglia.
Kickers, let's see. Reed.
So Odell Beckham. Reed?
Yeah, punt return.
That's deep snap of that, Patrick. Yeah, it's Beckham. It's Beckham. He's punt returner, kick returner. He's everything.
Yeah.
So we're screwed if he gets hurt?
There'll be a second guy back there with him on kick returns. I
mean, you could plug anybody into that.
You can't plug anybody into
it. Well, not anybody, but look, I think Terrence McGee would be a great return man.
Maybe one of our
especially if the other running backs are staying healthy and producing, why leave him sitting on the bench? The guy's talented. Get him involved. Even if it is doing kick returns.
Incoming freshman Tredavious.
You basically take your most athletic guy and stick him back there.
And Benny Brazil's unknown cousin. Is he related to Benny Brazil?
I have no idea.
Fastest track athlete in LSU history?
Benny Brazil.
He's no Xavier Carter.
I was going to say Trenton Holiday
was.
Trenton Holiday. All right.
Yeah,
he was with the Houston Texans. Too, huh? Last time I checked.
It's 4:40. We got about 10.
No, he was in.
We got about 10.
Well, I thought he was
minutes.
In Denver. Denver picked him up last
year.
He's in Denver now.
You're right. Yeah.
Pat, I know you want in on this. We got about 10, 15 minutes before we got to prepare for our fantasy football draft. Let's predict the SEC.
Oh, good. Yeah,
let's do it.
Get in.
We'll start with the East first. I'm just gonna go around. JJ, give me your East winner.
My East winner is gonna be. Actually, that's my dark horse.
Mississippi State.
East winner is gonna be Georgia. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
To say dark with the dark, you want to do all the East?
Go Dogs.
You want to just do all the
just
East?
Give me your winner. Give me your winner and your dark horse.
Georgia and the dark horse is
this is just 2013 standings right here, right now. Georgia's in second place right now.
Georgia, I predict to win the East. Vanderbilt is definitely the dark horse.
That's like a dark.
The Vandy
dark
hype machine,
horse.
Man. Vandy actually has had some off-the-field problems this year.
Yeah.
Did they really?
Like nasty rape, everything else going on there. Their starting receivers and everything else have been arrested for rape charges.
Well, maybe. Or I'll still say.
So JJ likes Georgia.
Yeah.
Vandy's your dog horse. Patrick.
Georgia. I'm gonna go with Florida this year. I think they're going to do something. I think Georgia's going to get beat up in the first few games of the season, and they're going to have some injuries. They're going to hamper them when they get to some of the SEC East games when they got to play, and that's going to cost them a game down the road, which is going to cost them the SEC East championship.
Georgia's got all the talent. They're loaded down, but for some reason, I just can't put it in their hands right now. I think Florida, like Pat said, Pat's got to be.
I like he's all precise and
yeah.
articulate. Look at it.
Here it comes. Here it comes.
I think Florida's going to win it this year.
Here it comes. Okay.
Here it comes.
And then.
Here it comes.
Here it comes. At best.
You don't like
somebody give him a mic.
That's no different. That's no different than this jackhole picking Mississippi State as the West dog horse for the last 6 years.
Yeah.
South Carolina.
I mean, it wouldn't be right if he did.
It nice.
I
didn't
pick
nice.
Him
last year.
Yeah, you did.
Yeah, you did. Hey, they're not that far off. I mean, it's not really a dark
Actually,
horse.
I think the first time.
It's really not a dark horse.
The first time you ever picked them as a dark horse was the time we did it at your original Ponchatoula house.
The original Ponchatoula
house? No,
that Pat lived in. The one right there on Danny Street.
No, I did it at Carrie's house. That was the only time, okay, the first time I did
it. No, you've done it like four or five times. All right.
I'm going Georgia, and Dork Horse.
Dork?
Dork Horse?
Dork. Dork,
Dork? Dork Horse?
Me!
Dork!
No, that Dork. Wasn't a reference to Vanderbilt. Actually, no, I was going to say,
Rocky.
Rocky actually, top. No, if I had to pick a Dork Horse. At first, I was going to say Vandy.
Like a dork horse.
He said dork again.
Dork. Dork horse.
But I'm going to say Tennessee's dork horse.
Wow.
Who do you say?
Tennessee.
Tennessee? Rocky
New
Top?
Coach. Butch Davis.
Rocky Top. The thing is about a dark horse is
yeah, take the chase out your mouth.
Got him. The thing about a dark horse is if you pick somebody who's ranked third in the conference, it's really not a dark horse.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
I don't think anybody has heard.
Chase is right for saying Tennessee if he wants to go dark horse.
Well, yeah. That's why I said Vanderbilt.
I think South Carolina is going to win the East this year.
I agree. I think Georgia slips up on their first two games. They play Clemson. They play. Well, I don't care what you say. Georgia plays Clemson in South Carolina.
They could win the SEC with losing to Clemson.
Right, but I think South Carolina is going to take.
I like. I'm this side of the
because,
resolve.
Because South Carolina plays Vandy, Kentucky, Tennessee, Missouri. I mean, it's like
who's South Carolina's West?
They all play.
Well, I don't know. Georgia plays all.
Wait.
They're all in the East.
That's right. That's
who
right.
Is
South Carolina? But South Carolina plays Arkansas. Georgia plays us.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
That's the difference.
That's the difference.
In my opinion.
That's right.
Neither one of them have a tough like they don't. They're not like LSU. LSU has to play Florida and Georgia. You know, Georgia plays LSU, and that's about it.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know who's their other West opponent. It's Ole Miss, I believe. South Carolina's although
Mississippi State.
No, South Carolina, yeah, Mississippi State.
Mississippi State.
Georgia plays Auburn, of course.
Yeah, of course.
So yeah, they play Auburn and us.
I say South Carolina.
All right, so who you got for the East?
Kerry? I like South Carolina, based on their schedule.
Dark horse.
Yeah, because I think Georgia's going to lose to us in Athens. Huh? Yeah. I was Mr. Pessimistic on December 31st. I'm Mr. Sunshine Pumper right now.
Dark horse candidate for the East?
What's that? I don't really give a shit about a dark horse candidate.
Yeah, who cares?
Florida. I think Florida has a good defense. Driscoll and offense is kind of spotty, so I think they're kind of flying under the radar, but their defense is good enough. But their offensive woes are the same as they were last year. Wild, Wild West.
I think
Wild, Wild West.
Realistically, I mean, it should be Alabama. Realistically, if you look at the schedule, I think A&M's actually going to win the West.
Whoa!
And
I think he's
really smoking.
A&M's going to lose three games in the West.
He's throwing a bone to his wife.
I think all the BS. I think all the BS with Manziel is he uses that and just comes out and steamrolls everybody.
He doesn't so have all. The mental
even
capacity.
The third Alabama's going to kill him that third game of the season.
I think everybody's watching enough film on Manziel. They're just going to tear him up this year.
Well, I mean, that's
– He's not going to have 1,200
yards.
He's not
going to put the numbers
rushing.
Up he put up last year. Tebow didn't do it his second
no,
time.
No, he doesn't have to. All he has to do is manage the game at that point. And
manage the game. They have that much talent on that team?
He's not smart enough to manage it.
He can't manage the game.
I don't know.
That and team doesn't have that much talent.
No.
That they could. That
they did left
last
exactly.
Year. No, I.
Yeah, he lost two tackles.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. Yeah.
At best.
At best.
I'll still stick with it.
Okay. All right.
Stick it to his guns.
He's sticking to his guns. All right.
And Ole Miss, is the dark horse.
LSU's going to win the West. And dark horse, Texas A&M. Because the only reason why everybody's – I mean, yeah, we're all going by preseason rankings, but this was all before the whole Manziel issue. I think that hurts him. I mean, my opinion, I don't think the kid's ready. He showed he doesn't have the mental capacity for this game. And he's not going to do it in the pros either because there's no way.
We're going to find out early about them.
So
we're going to find out early about
them. I don't think he's going to do it, but, you know, I say Texas A&M's a dark horse. For him to pull through.
I'm going to echo Chase's sentiments. Bama, LSU flying under the radar. LSU gets through Georgia, Ole Miss, Florida with one loss, preferably against either Georgia or Florida, on a road against Bama, just like podcast talked about.
Looks good.
Les Miles and Nick Saban are 2-2 against each other right now in regular season games. Am I right?
Yeah.
6-5. They play that much?
They were tied.
They didn't play 11 times.
No, it was 2-2 after the 2010 game.
Oh, okay.
Talking to the mic.
Yeah.
So, but like, no.
Cody Wilson.
We're not going to Bama and getting blown out. We will have a bona fide shot to win that game. We'll have a bona fide shot to win every game we play in.
Wins the West.
It's going to come down between us and Bama again. The problem is we can have a bye. We can have to play A&M again. Let's see where A&M is at that point.
Yeah.
A&M could go here, or they can go here. They can go as high as Johnny Manziel takes them, or they can go Arkansas 2012.
And the thing is, A&M
that's where A&M is right now.
A&M could lose to Bama and still force a 3-way tie when they play us.
But they have no talent. I mean, who else? I mean,
you know.
Well, yeah. I understand that, but
so we're kind of split on LSU. Well, whether or not, I think LSU's
that's
a
why
one.
I'm thinking, yeah.
I think LSU's a, as always. I think they're a 1 or 2 loss team, potentially a 3 or 4 loss team, just depending on what shakes out on the offensive side of the ball.
And just to complete the prediction machine, SEC West winner against the field in the SEC title game. You've got the SEC West winner, right?
I would think so.
Yeah.
Yes.
This year, definitely.
Yeah. And then SEC champion against the field in the national title.
How bad is it?
Does anybody see any team nationally that they're even thinking?
Maybe
Oregon.
Ohio
no.
State.
No.
Ohio
State, no.
It's
no.
a
no.
joke.
They'll lose to Northwestern and we're going to laugh our ass off the weekend. We're going to see Urban Meyer have a heart attack on the field, and that'll be it.
How bad
Oregon.
Do you have to be hard to feel yeah. when you're a Georgia fan right now? You're 4 points away from a national title.
I don't even think Oregon, to be honest with you. I think Stanford's got the best chance of the Pac.
Actually, he is right. I forgot about Stanford. Stanford can come in the SEC right now and be a 7-8 win team in conference.
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah, they're smart.
That's right.
Yeah.
They're smart.
That's right. All right, TCU preview show coming up. We're going to record that when?
Tuesday night.
Tuesday.
Yes.
Can you do that Tuesday? I think you play basketball. Okay. All right.
Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, that was your SEC LSU preview.
We're
2013,
sorry.
Sort of.
We're sorry.
I think it was pretty productive.
I know. It'll work. I can cut it down to about 15 minutes and roll it.
Yeah, 40 minutes of it.
That's what we're looking for. LSU TCU next Saturday. Look for us. Me, Patrick, Podcat, Poser, possibly Billy, previewing TCU next week with a TCU special guest.
Yes, from our TCU brethren at the site called Frogs of War.
Is this going to air before
Frogs
the actual TCU?
Of War.
They have a frog that spits
Podcat will spit that out while he's hosting a draft in a little bit. So.
Yeah.
Horny frogs.
He'll chug that stuff
just,
up tonight.
No, it'll be a 30-second clip that says that has we say, all right, welcome to the Go Show, SEC preview. Done. Roll the music.
Nice.
Yeah.
So,
ladies and gentlemen, we'll see y'all next time.
Later.